but glorious. Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined by the Hollywood He-Man, Eli Drake. How you doing, Stephen and Eli?
Oh, wow. You just threw in Hollywood He-Man there. I love that. As I'm sitting here looking at the Hollywood sign.
Yeah, it's my favourite nickname of yours.
I haven't used that one in a long time, but I have to bring it back.
So, huge thanks to the Fight Network UK for setting up this interview and for you coming on. Do you have a good holidays and New Year?
Yeah, it was great. I got to travel back to the East Coast, where I'm from originally, in Maryland, on the East Coast of the United States. And now I'm back here in L.A. through a really fun New Year's Eve party at my place.
Wow.
It's been pretty good. And now I'm, getting back. I got real hard into training yesterday, going to continue to the day, and roll right into Nashville this weekend, for homecoming.
Oh, brilliant. So what's a typical Christmas day like in the Drake household?
You know what I'm doing right now is I'm sitting here and still messing with my entrance music. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I made my own entrance music this past year.
Yeah, I heard that.
But I'm making some tweaks to it.
Wow.
So I want to kind of play with it a little bit, cut that build off from the beginning. But then other than that, I got to do so much stuff just to get ready to fly out tomorrow. So it kind of sounds like a mundane day because it's going to be like laundry, haircut, gym, things like that. That's what it feels like. But it feels like I'm starting to move back in that direction. And I think the beginning of moving in that direction is this weekend at Homecoming with Abyss at Monsters Ball.
So as you say, this weekend is Impact Wrestling Homecoming. Very exciting card so far. You've got Johnny Impact versus Brian Cage, Tessa Blanchard versus Taya Valkyrie, Ali X versus Phoenix and Pentagon. And you're facing, as you mentioned, the Monster Abyss and the Monsters Ball match.
Look, I'm just trying to figure out how I can avoid all the thumbtacks and barbed wire at this point.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not known for your hardcore wrestling. Are you excited to explore that side of the sport?
Well, I can tell you this. I don't think I've ever had a hardcore match in my life. I've had some no disqualification matches.
Yeah.
Probably where some weapons have been involved, but nothing where it's been straight up like weapons are recommended.
So is there a weapon you're least looking forward to being hit with?
Yeah, the damn barbed wire. And the thumbtacks and all that crap. So, look, I'm trying to move on to doing some acting and whatnot. So
yeah.
I gotta make sure I don't have, scars all over my damn body and my face and everything else. So, we gotta work around this. We'll see what happens.
So if he goes onto the ring and brings out a bag, would you prefer to have thumbtacks in or Lego? Legos. So.
I prefer that I smack it out of his hands. Because neither of those outcomes are and who knows, though? Maybe I'll bring my own surprise.
Yeah. So with the success of Bound for Glory and Slammiversary this year, what should the listeners expect from Homecoming this weekend?
Well, I mean, look, like you said, there's a stacked card from top to bottom. The title match is going to be pretty crazy as far as two guys who do some of the craziest moves you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Dream Age, Johnny Impact. The girls' match... I feel weird calling the girls match, but they are girls, but they're going to be killing it.
Yeah.
Taya and Tessa are on another level.
I've really enjoyed their feud this year.
And they killed it at Bound for Glory, and I think they're going to do it again at Homecoming. And the crazy thing about going into this weekend also is that you got to realize that we haven't been in Nashville forever, and that's where this whole thing started. That's where Impact started.
Mm.
So now... there's a whole fan base that's clamoring to have their homegrown product come back, and I think that's going to lead to a very incredibly energetic room, so I'm looking forward to that.
This is the resilient rookie Green Ant, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious Podcast.
Who is your dummy of 2018?
Oh, no. Who's my dummy of 2018? There's a lot of those right now. I don't know if
We could go dummies.
I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. In the wrestling industry, there's a whole lot of that going on.
Yeah.
I'll put it like this. The main dummies in the wrestling industry, I'll give it one big group.
Yeah.
It's pretty much all the little tiny guys who are about 150 pounds. It's all the big fat guys who've never done a day of sports in their life, who think that they could be wrestlers. Mm. It's all the guys doing stunts and really dancey, choreographed moves that don't bother getting a personality to save their life. Those are dummies of the 2018.
Yeah. Yeah, so you are known as one of the best promos in the industry at the moment. Growing up, were you more a fan of the promo character side of the sport?
I mean, look, I use my brothers as a litmus test a lot of times because my brothers are like casual fans. They're not like hardcore. Like they don't even know that independent wrestling existed until like a year or two before I got in the business.
Yeah.
As far as I knew, there was just WWF, WCW, and ECW, and I didn't even pay attention to ECW either. If a guy couldn't talk, I didn't care about him.
No.
There was nothing for me to grab onto. Like you could do the coolest moves in the world. And it was cool for that moment, for a second, but there was nothing for me to take away from there and be like, oh, wow, I want to see that again. I was like that with the guys who interacted with the audience, with the guys who had quotable statements.
Yeah.
If you look at the guys who, I tell you what, look at CM Punk, even though he's not in the business anymore, but everybody... talk about how he's the best wrestler in the world, yada, yada, yada. But nobody noticed any of that until the pipe bomb. That's his most famous thing is the pipe bomb.
Yeah,
nothing else
definitely.
Mattered until that. And what was that? That's a guy talking very poignantly. He's saying memorable things that sound like he's actually going off script or whatever. That's what connects people, not moves.
No.
And so, yeah, I was definitely a big-time promo guy. And my brothers, like I said, to get back to that point, they, back in the Attitude Era, they used to say that they watched half the time just from talking. So, if that's the case, and I feel like that's the case for a lot of people, a lot of the casual fans, and of course you got your hardcore fans who like, you know, really, I want to see this move and these cool, crazy spots and all that crap, that's fine. Throw that in. That should be part of the show. But if you want to bring in a casual fan and swell the audience with people who aren't necessarily big-time wrestling fans, you need stories, you need characters, you need guys that can talk.
Yeah, definitely. Because if you look back to the 80s, if you say Hulk Hogan or Macho Man, you don't think about what great wrestlers they were. You think that catchphrases, yeah, Diggett and Brother. And
yeah, their characters brought you in.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, right now, the independent wrestling scene is huge because the independent wrestling scene is bigger on moves and things like that as opposed to characters. But the independent scene, that means that you're basically filling a building with maybe 1,000 people at the most.
Yeah.
You're talking about 20 years ago, WWF, WCW, they were filling 10,000, 20,000 seat arenas on a nightly basis. They were selling out TVs on a weekly basis. They can't even come close to doing that now.
Wow.
Because nobody has that captivating character to bring anybody in. The last star that they've created is John Cena, and he's now, you know, 15, almost 20 years deep. So that just goes to show that any big time swell in the wrestling business where they were at their absolute peak, it was always, has always, and will always be based on character.
Mm.
It was when Hogan was at his peak. It was when Rock and Austin were at the peak. You look at the time when, like, the best wrestlers were at the top, and it was like Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, and the company was in the shitter.
Yeah.
Excuse my language. but it's because, like, they were okay promo guys at best, but there was nothing super captivating about them. The wrestling fans liked them, but it wasn't something that really gravitated or pulled in the people who weren't big-time wrestling fans. But when you brought in big, huge, larger-than-life characters, guys who could talk, guys who could get your interest, and then you look at the card around like 98, 99, every single guy seemed to be over from top to bottom. You could bring out Val Venus at the very beginning of the card. You know what? He had, hello, ladies, and the people loved it.
The Godfather would come out,
you'd hear his music hit, and they had stuff that, like, the Godfather would come out and say his whole thing, pimpin' home, nationwide, and the whole crowd could say it with him. Nobody remembers a Godfather match at all.
No.
They remember all his stuff that he would say every time he came out. Same thing with the Road Dog, Billy Gunn. It was all that stuff to where people could recite these things. They could be a part of the show and interact. If the crowd is just watching you do moves, they don't get to be a part of the show, and that's why they show up to the shows. They want to be a part of the show. That's why when the shows become boring or whatever, that's why they start chanting stupid things, because they want to be a part of the show. Give them a way to become a part of the show by having things that they can quote and mark back at you.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Anyway, I'm off the soapbox.
This is TNT Extreme Wrestling play-by-play commentator, the voice of TNT Extreme Wrestling, Paul Kissock, and you're listening to the Broken But Glorious podcast.
How important has the advent of social media become since you started wrestling? So.
I hate it.
You hate it?
It wasn't important at all. And I'm not even sure that it is important. I know a lot of guys and girls like use it to get over. But I don't know. I think I'd rather... Look, Twitter doesn't pay me. Instagram doesn't pay me, at least not currently. But Impact pays me. So if I'm going to do some stuff to get over, I'd rather do it on a television show that's paying me to get over.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's not as impactful to read somebody's text to somebody. Oh, I'm going to kick your ass and, you know, whatever, all this other crap. I'll tell it to you on a microphone. I'll do it on TV. That's how I prefer to do it. So as far as I'm concerned, I am on social media minimally. There are some days where I'll throw in a bunch of posts, and then you won't see me for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So.
Do you think that could be?
It's, to some people, it's really important. To me, I could do without it.
Do you think that it could be one of the problems with how the wrestling industry has gone? Because having like a 10-second GIF culture where everyone like, wow, look at that move. Rather than watching whole matches or full promos, you just get snappy, and the short attention span.
But I think that goes again to people not being connected to the characters.
Yeah.
Like, if I see a guy do a bunch of moves, why am I even invested in what they're doing? Like, for instance, okay, when I very first got the Impact, I was in a group called The Rising.
Yeah.
And I remember they were talking about they wanted me to split up from the group, and I said, well, who's going to care? Because nobody's invested in us. I've never said a word. I've never won a match. We've never really had any success together. So who's ever going to care when I finally leave and turn my back?
Yeah.
So that's a big time uphill battle. So you have to make people connect to a character. If the people don't care, like, okay, take any, think of like, there's a bar right down the street called Bordner's that I go to on occasion. They always have these horrible, terrible, straight-to-DVD movies, and it's filled with explosions, gunfights, boobs, everything that you think would be awesome. It's like every high spot possible, so you think, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. But the writing is terrible. The content is terrible. The characters suck. The actors suck.
Yeah.
So that's why it's strictly DVD. Nobody ever hears of it. Nobody ever cares of it. Nobody likes it. Nobody watches it. And unfortunately, I think that's kind of what's happening with wrestling, in the sense that nobody's bothering to build characters and really build it. Like, characters are what bring people in. Good stories is what bring people in. That's why a show like Breaking Bad was so successful. It wasn't because... The part of him selling drugs or making meth in his caravan and his RV or whatever was not the draw. It was the character. It was the struggles that he faced. It was the story. Wrestling's no different. That's what it's always been.
Mm.
So I don't know that social media has ruined that necessarily, because, again, television shows are still thriving if they have good characters and good storytelling.
Yeah, I completely agree. I keep just thinking back to the famous wrestlers of the past, and every single one of them, you know, the catchphrase. They have a catchphrase. So.
I mean, like, here's the thing. Like, if you go back and watch the build up to WrestleMania 17 with Austin and Rock,
yeah,
and you look at the sit down the sit-down interview they did with Jim Ross. I don't know if you remember it, but if you do, it seemed very real.
Yeah.
And everybody was in on the gag. Everybody knew, you knew that the whole thing's work, but, like, sitting and watching it, their intensity, their characters were so strong. The story was so strong that it worked, and people wanted to see them. And here's two of the biggest characters that sometimes can be funny, but the intensity is turned up to such a high level that, man, damn, I want to see what's going to happen. These two are going to go at each other.
Yeah.
So I don't think that, even if you had social media in that day, I don't think it would have put a chink in that armor, because the performance was so strong. The story was so strong.
Yeah, if you go back to another recent example of in WWE, when Seth Rollins left the Shield, you wanted Dean Ambrose to rip his head off. But when Dean Ambrose left the Shield, he didn't put a story behind it. So it's kind of fell flat. You didn't want Seth Rollins.
You're speaking a foreign language to me. Anything after 2003, I'm like very fuzzy on. I only know the Python thing because a friend of mine like hit me up and he was like, "Hey, I think this guy went off script. You got to check it out."
Yeah.
No. That's part of the whole thing. That cut his mic.
Well, I am well over my allotted time with you. Have you got many other interviews to do this evening?
I think I have a couple others coming in today. So, yeah, he hit me with a few. So he was like, yeah, give everybody 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Look at me giving you 4.5 extra.
All right, so before you go, do you want to promote your social media?
Why don't we, even though I hate it? at the Eli Drake, THEELIDRAKE, on both Instagram and Twitter. And, of course, feel free to go to ProWrestlingTees.com/EliDrake and get yourself a beautiful, delightful Eli Drake t-shirt. And, of course, you can also get some at Shop Impact. But, I think that about covers it.
Okay, well, I've really enjoyed speaking today. Good luck against Abyss on Sunday.
Thank you so much. Actually, yeah, don't forget to check out Homecoming this Sunday. So, where are you right now? You're over in Europe, yeah?
I'm in Liverpool. So.
Okay, so I guess that'll be like early Monday morning for you or something like that.
Yeah, I'll probably watch it on Monday evening. I won't watch it live. So it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
If you're catching it live, make sure you get it, stay up all night for it. And otherwise, then you'll see it Monday. So. But for those of us in the U.S., it'll be Sunday, live on pay-per-view. Check it out. Get there.